Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access Audio Review for the WWE 205 Live Show that aired November 14th, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review for 205 Live, a show which for some reason was built around Kalisto's birthday. Now for some quick thoughts on the show. Given the birthday theming, I was afraid that we were in store for some horrid Vince McMahon humor shenanigans. Kind of like the pumpkins and candy corn stuff we got a couple weeks ago during the Halloween episode. Seriously, Mustafa Ali tried to shove Twix bars into random people's mouths. We did get some dumb haha WWE comedy on this episode, but in a nice little twist, a lot of the wrestlers' talents shined. These wrestlers are extremely talented dudes, and they got to, not necessarily they were given a chance to showcase some of their talents, was more so they were showcasing their talents on themselves, like by themselves it seemed, and it showed. It was good by 205 Live standards. This show has low standards, but we had some good performances put in. This was by no means as good as the weekly NXT show, because NXT makes sure every segment means something ever since NXT did their reboot. See, this whole good is possible. NXT wasn't good last year as far as the TV show was concerned on a weekly basis. But this year they hit the reset button, and now every single one of their segments in their shows is productive. The problem with 205 Live sometimes is the show can come off as totally missable. This episode was missable, but no, the first match was really good. Check that out. And Drew Gulak was funny. Check that out. We also got Ari Daivari doing decent, and Mustafa Ali getting a chance to talk. So, for once in a long time, I actually recommend a WWE 205 Live show if you want to see what a lot of these wrestlers are capable of. But I start to digress. Also, just randomly, we got Nigel McGuinness, even, who usually phones in on these shows, actually showing up and doing good storytelling on the headset. It was interesting. Now, going back to the review, if you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review, which is posted on ProWrestling.net. The reason why it's a good follow-along tool is because I'm using it as an outline and as notes, so you can as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review. This week's WWE 205 Live show was on the WWE Network, and it aired live after SmackDown, November 15th, 2017, in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the Spectrum Center. We had no teaser this week. It was straight into the intro theme. Still no, and we caught up. Neville, he's been edited out completely. He has been for a month or so, however long was since he walked out. We then were taken to Kalisto, who had a purple black backdrop behind him. He was overly excited. This was another thing that dragged down my expectations for the show. He was just like hopping around. Like, why is he a funny all of a sudden? He's not Ali from TNA. He comes off as a dork when he does it. He talked about how it was his cumpleaños, which is Spanish for birthday. Kalisto then giggled and hopped around. Yeah, he was overly excited tonight for some reason. It was his birthday, I understand, but whatever. I don't know. He said he was going to celebrate his birthday by beating down Enzo's right-hand man, Mr. Captain Underpants, Drew Gulak. Kalisto then talked about shutting down the SO Show on Sunday when he won the championship. The SO Show, is that something. I know that's a bit what Enzo Murray has been calling 205 Live, but I wonder if he'll get into a battle with what's his face, LeVar Ball, who has been, I think, trying to push that the Lakers be using the word so-show. I don't know, whatever. I'm digressing a lot. This show is easy to digress on because it's not that good of a show. But as I said, there were some things on the show that were pretty good. So hang on. They then cut to Enzo Amore, who was backstage with Drew Gulak, and they were staring at a giant cake for Kalisto. Enzo said he bought this. Drew Gulak wondered if the flower was made out of fondant. And then they were just talking about trying to make Kalisto's birthday mean something. Let's see. He talked about Drew Gulak making a difference by beating up Kalisto. And so said, capiche. And Drew Gulak responded comically by saying, I do capiche. Long story short, that's why this was this setting up for the Drew Gulak versus Kalisto match. Nothing really special there. Not sure why we're building an entire episode around Kalisto's birthday. Luckily, they didn't necessarily build the whole episode around Kalisto's birthday, but they kept reminding you throughout the night that it's Kalisto's birthday, and must all celebrate Kalisto's birthday for some strange reason. Usually, when a wrestler's birthday happens during a Raw or a SmackDown, they celebrated during a dark segment, but for some reason we're getting an episode based off of Kalisto's birthday. Are the writers of the show that lazy? I don't know. Maybe they're phoning it in like Nigel McGuinness does on the show. Mostly. Nigel McGuinness is a really good commentator when he's paired with, say, a Jim Ross, a Mauro Ranallo, or a Michael Cole, who is engaged most of the time. Nigel McGuinness is really a really good storyteller and sports-like commentator. He does a combination of that very well. He can give Corey Graves a run for his money, and Corey Graves is pretty good in that regard as well. On 205 Live, he forces being a heel, and sometimes sounds like he's half awake. That's how I feel when watching this show sometimes. To be completely honest, I want the show to be good. But WWE seems like they don't want the show to be good for some odd reason. Moving along, we were heading to the show. Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness checked in on commentary and just were running down a couple of the things that were going to happen later on. Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick made their entrance. They got an inset promo. Gallagher called the fans ignorant masses. Talked about how Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann decided to be clowns, and Kendrick talked about how bad choices equals bad consequences. Rich Swann came out and then gave formal ring introduction to Cedric Alexander, who's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Surprisingly, though, I'm not sure if it was just the way that the crowd was mic'd, but they didn't give Cedric Alexander the huge reaction you think they would give a hometown guy. And I believe they were in Charlotte, North Carolina before, and Cedric Alexander got a much a stronger reaction from the crowd. Maybe they're tired. It's easy to get tired after watching SmackDown. They might have been exhausted from the Raw versus SmackDown thing. Who knows? Our first match of the night was the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander in a tornado tag match. We were just told that all of a sudden. Not sure if they advertised this on Raw. I forget. Sometimes I zone out anything that has to do with 205 Live, sadly enough. Lisa, not because it's just because this is the way WWE presents it, to be honest. But this match was really fun. It was really good. Check it out if you want to see what Kendrick and Gallagher can do and what Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander can do. They were just going back and forth. Some very cool spots here. We had a interesting double submission. It was Kendrick and Gallagher working together to get the Captain's Hook and an armbar in on Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. And you even had, while Swann was trapped in an armbar, he got his hand under Cedric Alexander, who was passed out, so that the ref couldn't drop Cedric's hand to the mat. Not sure the logic behind it, but it was a cool moment, and it saved the win for the babyfaces. There was some really nice back and forth. You had Brian Kendrick hitting slice red number two, and Rich Swann coming in with a shoulder tackle to break up the pin. There was a lot of fun wrestling here. The winners of the match were Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann, defeating the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher via pinfall in 10 minutes and 54 seconds after Alexander hit a spinning wheel kick and lumbar check on Kendrick for the win. After the match, Joseph said it was a homecoming, and they cut to a shot of Kalisto's cake, and Vic Joseph said he hopes it's red velvet. Because who doesn't like red velvet cake? Some people don't like red velvet cake. I love red velvet cake. I also like fondant on cake. It seems like everyone else like fondant too. But going back to the match, it was really fun. What it reminded me of is some of those very high quality matches that you would see on an not just on a Raw, on a NXT TakeOver show, similar to the style of match you would get with Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins when they would wrestle, that very frantic, fast paced, and solid storytelling match. Some the Usos are capable of doing these good matches as well. Yeah, this was up there with some of the better WWE tag team matches that you see. It's relegated to this strange WWE 205 Live show. Part of what drags it down. So there were two criticisms I had on the match. One was Rich Swann. He wasn't selling anything. Cedric Alexander was doing fine in the selling, but you had Rich Swann just taking all these high impact moves. He was stuck in that submission for a long time. You had Nigel McGuinness pointing out that Cedric Alexander should be injured, but for some reason he was Superman here. So yeah, Rich Swann, the scrawny Rich Swann guy. Not, and I'm saying that as a negative too. I mean, that's kind of the character that he should be playing. He should be playing the underdog. It's what Sami Zayn slash El Generico did so well, was when he would get beat up, he would sell that thing to hell. For some reason, they're pushing Rich Swann as a world beater, which is fine if he can have some sort of believability to it. He's also very lackadaisical, which kind of counteracts that. But my so the one criticism is Rich Swann not selling anything. The second criticism is just how much they've dragged Kendrick and Gallagher through the ground. They actually took a little time, not too much, but they took a little time to build a pretty intriguing tag team between Kendrick and Jack Gallagher. We know Kendrick can be a very good tag team wrestler. He was the longest reigning tag team champion on in SmackDown history before the New Day broke that record, or was it in Raw history? I forget. But he had the record in WWE. His matches were always fun to watch, and even when he worked heel, like say when he was teamed up with Ezekiel Jackson, he has lots of personality and he knows to tell a story in the ring. It goes into the whole point of being on 205 Live, where if you're not in the main event of the show, it's understandable if you phone it in because nothing you do really means anything. They were telling the story of how he was knocking some sense into Jack Gallagher. He knocked some sense into Jack Gallagher by DDTing him on a ring bell. And this heel tag team had some potential to be a very strong heel tag team that should have run roughshod on the 205 Live baby faces. And instead, their first challenge is Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann, and they just keep getting trampled on by Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann. It kills their modus operandi, where they talked about their mission statement at the time being to convert Cedric Alexander to their team because they said Cedric Alexander isn't winning because he's too nice. The problem with that mission is Cedric's doing all the right things now, and Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher are the ones who are losing even though they're cheating. It makes them look like a couple of goofs. It's not working. They have zero heat at this point. Very good tag team match. If this were in NXT, I'm sure the NXT writers would have written a very good story for this. And even if there was a minimal effort in the story building, at least it would be smart and logical. Instead, we got just a dull story with the heels looking like goofs. That's kind of the problem with a lot of the heels on 205 Live. Not named Enzo Amore, not named Neville. Not Kendrick was in that position at one point where they were taking care of him, but he's not Cruiserweight champion anymore. Therefore, he doesn't get that strong heel champion treatment. But that's it for this segment. Good match though. Check it out. If you like good tag team wrestling, you should check it out. After the match, we had Ari Daivari coming out. So after they had what was a commercial break, and Ari Daivari comes out with a microphone. He's sort of got this more Playboy type look, not the era Prince character that he was playing for a long time. Sort of similar, like a mimic of his brother Sean Daivari. They did several reboots on the Ari Daivari character, and I think where they are now, where he's a entitled stooge to Enzo Amore, he seems to be more confident on the microphone. So there's confidence there. Mustafa Ali came out. So yeah, you had he calls himself Daivari De Niro now. No relation to the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, aka Elijah Burke. But you had Mustafa Ali coming out and cutting a promo. So because during Daivari's promos he talks in Farsi, which is his like this is motherland's language. He's Iranian. Persian, it's the Persian language. Let's see. Ali said he was going to translate, and he did the whole mocking translating where he said Daivari was talking about his head being so up and so his backside that it doesn't taste like birthday cake. Daivari then was ranting in Farsi again. And Ali walked into the ring and said that they are all cruiserweights, and no matter if you're a fan of Kalisto or Enzo, they're all here to make 205 Live reach its potential. Ali then said, ultimately, Daivari just looks stupid. And I wanted to like mock about the whole 205 Live potential thing, but Ali, it's rare that we hear him speak on the mic these days. With what little mic time he's given, the content of what he's saying is mediocre. It's because everything written for the show is mediocre. But you find out that Mustafa Ali is a pretty well-spoken dude, and he delivers his lines very well with confidence. He didn't go through that problem that Daivari was going through for a long time. Ali had it. And he's a nice twist on this Arabic character who isn't your this stereotypical Arab type character. He's more down to earth, a guy you just see walking down the street who might be your best friend. He also is probably one of the most athletic guys on the 205 Live slash WWE roster, and he can talk if given a chance to talk. So good showing by both guys there as far as the talking was concerned. The match was Ari Daivari versus Mustafa Ali. Wasn't anything necessarily to write home about, but they did put on a good performance. Daivari, where what he lacks as far as talking is concerned, they always want to compare him to his brother, Sean Daivari. They don't make the comparison directly, but when they brought him in, they try to have him play the same character that Sean Daivari has played on the indies for years. But now he's starting to come into his own, and but he always had it in the ring. I always thought Ari Daivari was a little bit more talented than Sean Navarre as far as in-ring was concerned. And Mustafa Ali is very talented. He's one of those just very smooth and creative guys in the ring. So Mustafa Ali defeated Ari Daivari via pinfall in 7 minutes and 17 seconds. Then they randomly cut to the backstage area where Kalisto was stretching. And I said his mask looks like an ode to El Dragon Azteca Jr. from Lucha Underground, who, this was Will Pruitt's joke, and I'm just borrowing it. El Dragon Azteca Jr. And now Kalisto looks like a Lucha Watermelon. I'm not sure what's the appeal of. I get using a green mask, but the green with the watermelon stripes. Not sure what they're going for there. But he looked like a Lucha Watermelon. And you had Akira Tozawa walking in saying, "Ha," his chant, "Ha, ha, happy birthday." Get it? And he's said Kalisto will beat Drew Gulak, and then he walked away doing Kalisto's lucha thing. It looked better than when Kalisto does it. When Kalisto does it, he looks kind of overly excited and dorky. It's something they should extricate from the Kalisto character. There's something there. It's not hard to pinpoint. It's just they go hard with this whole lucha arm pump thing that it's a bit too cheesy. But as I said, the match was good. That was random. Let's move along. Now, let me take a little break from the audio review to talk to you guys about the benefits of becoming a .NET member. For the price of $7.50 a month, you can become a full ProWrestling.net ad-free member to our ad-free site. Of course, being a part of the ad-free site, you get ad-free access to the site, so no ads all over the place. That's not why you'll be paying $7.50 a month. The huge bulk of what you get from that membership fee is access to current and archives of all the audios that we do. We have audios dating back 10 years, and not just following WWE. We follow Impact Wrestling back when they were called TNA. We followed Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground. We have every episode seemingly reviewed since it started. I believe we didn't have the first couple episodes of season one covered. That was before Will Pruitt and I got into reviewing Lucha Underground shows. After like a third of season one happened, we got all those episodes covered. We have 205 Live reviewed. We got you covered on all kinds of audio. You guys hear these full-on audio reviews maybe once, twice a month. Note that the .NET members get every show reviewed every single day. As I mentioned, we have archives and we have current. You get an audio file with .NET every single day. And it's not just quantity over quality. We go over full-on analysis of each of the shows as the shows are happening. So you get our thoughts, like I said, real time. Not real time necessarily, but right after the shows finish. We have you covered on the pay-per-views. This weekend, you'll hear audio reviews from Jason Powell and Jake Barnett for the Survivor Series show, and Jason also has you covered for the NXT TakeOver audio review. Our most popular show on the .NET lineup is the .NET Weekly show. It's our flagship podcast where Jason Powell and a co-host go over all the major news of the week. The co-host could be one of us .NET staffers, or it could be a pro wrestling personality from current wrestlers, past wrestlers, announcers, whatnot. I could tell you a lot more that comes with the .NET membership, but I don't want to take up too much of your time on this plug. If you like audio, which is probably why you're listening to this, you will probably end up liking .NET membership because we get make sure you get your money's worth for what you're paying for. If you end up wanting to bring the price down a little bit, so it's $7.50 monthly. You can bring it down to an average of $5.50 a month if you take us up on our annual option. So there you go. And now's a good time to become a .NET member because we have the Survivor Series coming up. And time flies. We'll just have the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania coming up in a few months. So make sure to check us out. And that's when we really get kicking into gear as far as this .NET audio and written stuff is concerned. Lucha Underground's coming back. I get to cover that again. Again, I don't want to hold too much on the plug. I'll just let you check us out, and you're checking us right now. So, you want more of this? Become a .NET member. Now, back to the audio review of 205 Live. Now, back to 205 Live. We had Enzo Amore. Andrew Gulak making their entrance. It was Enzo Amore's theme. He does his whole certified G, bona fide stud routine. The crowd participated because the crowd loves Enzo. Yeah, they shouldn't be liking Enzo because he's a heel. I thought Enzo did a, like, where he was a bit long-winded the last 2 weeks, at least he was heat-seeking. And now he's back to going for cheers, which is very odd. It's not hard to do against Kalisto, as we'll find out during the match. But he talked about how Gabba Gulak was going to beat up Kalisto. Then, yeah, he was getting long-winded here. He was spending a lot of time just to say that they just to make jokes about giving Kalisto a birthday party. But in what was a funny line, Gulak held his thumb up and said, "How are you doing?" Yeah, there was another good Drew Gulak line. But I thought, yeah, the best part of that thing was how Drew Gulak, who was like the most boring guy in WWE at one point, when they pulled him out of Evolve. He had this weird Tom Green looking beard. I always thought he looked like Tom Green, and like Tom Green, sometimes he Tom Green can be very boring sometimes. And Drew Gulak was probably the most boring wrestler ever. Now that title goes to Timothy Thatcher, but I digress. Drew Gulak shaved off the Tom Green beard and showed off that the guy has personality. He still does chin locks, but he worked the chin locks into his act. He's the whole he's fighting for mat wrestling guy, and it's worked out. I get a kick out of it, and I know I'm not alone at this. Where a lot of people are liking the personality that Drew Gulak is showing, and in teaming up when it's a bit random because I thought they were building up Daivari to be Enzo Amore's stooge. And now it's Drew Gulak. Maybe this is somehow going to lead to Rockstar Spud being Enzo Amore's stooge. And if that's the case, then good for our Rockstar Spud, who can and play the stooge very well. And then you'll have a act, Enzo and Rockstar Spud, who are two of the strongest talkers in pro wrestling. Rockstar Spud is a hidden gem. It's a little bit hard to find some of his work online because he was very downplayed in TNA, and the one time they featured him in the main event, he hit a home run. That it was that whole Ethan Carter III versus Rockstar Spud feud, and I don't think they're building to that because 205 Live doesn't build to anything. But yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's just a bit odd that they put Drew Gulak as the stooge for of the week. Maybe next week he'll be Tony Nese. He shouldn't associate himself with Tony Nese. Like I said, not that Tony Nese is not talented. Tony Nese is talented. He was presented well in the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. In 205 Live, he's presented as a loser. It's what they're trying to do to Kendrick and Gallagher. Yeah, I'm spending too much time on this. It's 205 Live. You had Kalisto running out doing his lucha thing. He does the lucha thing too much. I'm quoting the words "lucha thing" was when he talked about he was gonna make like this make a good lucha thing, And that's not me messing up my words. He said, I'm going to come out to make a good lucha thing on a botched promo. But yeah. With Kalisto, what they should have done, and this is not me saying that my way will work better, it's just they don't have a way that they're going with Kalisto, and instead they're trying to recycle his Lucha Dragon persona that they pulled out of mothballs. They were, like, when he was on Raw, they were trying to do something new with him. He was looking like Drago from Lucha Underground, who in turn looks like Batman. But they were making him more stoic. They were making him dark. So yeah, Drago slash Dark Knight Batman. He was a bit more stoic and less dorky. He was cool for once when he beat Braun Strowman. He's one of the few people who beat Braun Strowman via countout, I believe, or driving him in a trash can. For some reason, they associate Braun Strowman with trash a lot. But they were on to something with Kalisto there. They were on to something when they had Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio that one time, and Kalisto wasn't talking all the time about Eddie Guerrero and John Cena. It's weird. Kalisto is just the challenger of the month, and I don't think he's gonna win. And if he wins, then hopefully soon I talk about Rockstar Spud, and they also in the rumors is Hideo Itami. Hopefully Hideo Itami ends up healing it on Kalisto. The problem with Kalisto as your babyface champ is a lot of people aren't sympathetic to him. So our main event match was Kalisto versus Drew Gulak. And the reason I say that is, like, you had at one point during the match, the crowd was like supporting Enzo and Drew Gulak, I think is that's what it seemed, in singing "Happy Birthday" to Kalisto. It was weird. There was surprising not a lot of cake involved. There wasn't the cake was at ringside, and they were teasing throwing someone into the cake. Things like these prop the crowds in the arenas for some reason. No, I get it. It's fun. It's like tables. But those pumpkins went over like a dud a couple weeks ago. But anyway, after all that, you had Kalisto hitting the SDS, the Salida del Sol, out of nowhere for the victory. So Kalisto defeated Drew Gulak via pinfall in 8 minutes, even. And after that, you had a little brawl, and Kalisto managed to fend off both heels. He was about to toss Enzo into the cake, but Enzo ran off and was talking to Dasha Fuentes backstage. Dasha said Kalisto was having a good birthday after all. Enzo then, for somehow, the cake teleported backstage. I'm not sure if they had two cakes or, but I'm more than likely this was a pre-tape. I know, but Kalisto was in his ring gear. It was very weird. But the cake didn't instant transmission to backstage order to yeah order two cakes. Why are we spending so much on cake budget for Kalisto? I don't know why they decided to bring the continuity to this, but Enzo also wondered if the flower on the top of the cake was made out of fondant. And Kalisto then slammed Enzo's head into the cake, and then said, let's see, I'll give you cake. He then said, cumpleaños a mí, which means happy birthday to me in Spanish. Then he like this body slammed a big clump of cake onto Enzo Amore, so it got him as dirty as a heated Enzo anyway. 205 Live closed with cake covered all over Enzo, and this match didn't stand out as much as the first two matches were, and in fact, this was probably the worst segment of the night. But it wasn't as bad as you would have thought, given that there was a cake at ringside. It was pretty much straightforward, and that's all I can really say about it. I thought the post-match cake stuff was fine. I thought Kalisto looked good in being hyper angry, except Like he didn't have to go with the line "Happy birthday" to me, because who says happy birthday? Like, do you go around telling your friends in that kind of tone, like "Happy birthday" to me because it's my birthday? You want your friends to surprise you. It's kind of weird. Kalisto is weird sometimes. But overall, given the strong nature of the first two matches, I'd say check out the first two matches. And even during the main event and opening segment, Drew Gulak provided some lighthearted humor, which is fun. So overall, this was a recommendation of an episode. Not a harsh one. If you have to miss it, go ahead and miss it. But at least check out the Cedric Alexander homecoming match, where Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann versus Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, even though Gallagher and Kendrick are presented as losers. The match was still very good because all four of those guys are very talented. With that said, I'll leave you to be. Again, if you're not a .NET member, check out .NET membership. You won't be disappointed with all the audio you get, but you also get more things, like I said. You get forum access, ad-free access, the works. And as a member, thank you for being a member. It's because of you guys that we put out this audio, so there we go. And with that said, have a nice one. I'll be back tomorrow with my NXT audio review for the Go Home show, heading into TakeOver War Games. Again, now I've finally let you go. Thank you so much, and have a nice one. Bye-bye.